Blind Cool Tech 60, July 28th, 05. Hey y'all, how you doing? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Today's show, we've got two submitted pieces. One from Jamie Pauls on a pretty cool website he's got called Access Watch. And then one from Scott Rutkowski about the Senseo coffee maker. Before we get to those, though, I wanted to tell you I was a little disappointed in my finding of the CNN News podcast. It did what I hoped that it wouldn't do, and essentially the next morning I had a whole bunch of two-minute updates, one from every hour, instead of just the latest one, preferably a nice, long, detailed one, but nope, so I'm off of that one, and if you all know of a good one, please let me know. Also, at the end of the show, we got something new we're going to try. We've got a sound that I would like for you to identify. So, before we get to that, though, here's Jamie Pauls.
My name is Jamie Pauls, and I'd like to talk to you today about a website that a friend of mine and I have put together. I'm very excited about it, actually. The website is Access Watch, and if some of you have listened to this on main menu or perhaps even gone to my website and listened to the audio tutorial that I've done there, this is going to be much shorter and hopefully a little more concise. Also, something else that is different is that I will not be actually using the speech synthesizer. And the reason for that is because no matter how much I try, I am unable to record my speech synthesizer and my voice on this sound card. I'm using a Dell computer with an OEM version of Sound Blaster Live Value, and I've done some reading, and apparently to update the card or the drivers to make this work is really iffy. There are some serious issues with it, and would require multiple boots, sighted assistance, and not even a guarantee that it would work. So until I can afford a new computer, as Larry was talking about recently, I will have to be contented with what I have, because it is just not doable on my system. The other alternative is to use my QuickCam's Logitech Pro 4000 microphone, which is probably one of the most tinny, unpleasant-sounding mics I've ever heard. So, at least for recording anyway, it works great if you're using Skype, but at least I think it does anyway. But regardless, Larry, you're not the only one who has difficulties with audio. But that's okay. That's not what we're all about anyway. We're, I think, trying to have fun more than anything else. So, with all that said, I'm going to go ahead and type in my website, which is... I'm using the run dialog, so that's why I'm having to think through this a little bit. www.accesswatch.info. If you're not careful, you'll leave a C out. There's all kinds of interesting things you can do to Access Watch. The way the site, first of all, is set up is the categories are divided into headings. You know, a lot of websites have downloads, programs of interest, that sort of thing, and that's fine. Those are great. I've chosen to set up my website in the format of, for example, listening to audio, subscription services, you know, how do I burn CDs, that sort of thing. And by the way, a couple of those things I just mentioned are not on there yet. Those are things I want to add later. Watching TV and movies is on there, and list some accessible sites that you can go to buy accessible DVDs, or actually give you a link to WGBH's accessible page discussing DVS. So that's kind of the approach that I've taken with the site. But that's really not what I want to talk to you about, actually. My reason for even doing this in the first place, setting up this website, was my desire to begin a software review site. Now, whenever I did my review for Main Menu, I didn't even realize until after I listened back to it that I used the expression provide software reviews or technology reviews from a blindness perspective. I actually borrowed their tagline or their hook and didn't even realize that I had done it. So how is my website different than a lot of other things that you can access, whether it be Blind Cool Tech or the Desert Skies podcast or the Main Menu program? You know, I have to have something to offer you that's going to be a little different, or you're not going to need to even show up. Well, here's the idea. These software reviews, first of all, are text-based. In other words, you create an account. It's totally free, but that allows you to set up a profile. What's your screen reader? What is your operating system? And then, after you've done that, then you you can enter a program to review. So, for example, you know, I might enter Norton System Works in the title field of the review program. Then the next tab is the next field is the version number. So I would put 2004 down there. And then several of the other fields are already filled in because you've already set up your profile in the in your account when you set it up. And so, you know, those are fine. You get to a rating box, and it's 1 to 5. It's a nice little list box that you can choose your rating. Then the next tab over is a text or an edit box where you can just type the text of a review. You can do some nice things in here. You can format for paragraphs. You can, if you use a proper URL, http://, then you can actually access, or rather the person who's reading the review can access the link that you've typed. So you can give purchase information or, you know, information to download a product, that sort of thing. And the idea of this is that it's very dynamic. The more users add to the site, this is going to constantly evolve and constantly change. So, you know, we can access the archives of Larry's Blind Cool Tech program, and we can listen to the Bookport tutorial, which is absolutely wonderful. Makes me want one. Of course, I've wanted one of everything that he's discussed so far, or that anyone else has discussed. My bank account will not support that, and so I'm going to have to use some wisdom and some restraint and continue listening to his reviews and figuring out what I can actually buy and all that good stuff. But I digress a little. But not much, because actually, you can do the same thing on the review site, except that you don't have to archive a lot of audio files. You can just go to the website, find the particular program of interest, see that it is receives, for example, a 4-star rating, or not really stars, but just a 4 rating based on 3 reviews. You can read those reviews and get a really good idea of you know, what other blind people think of this program. Just to give you a very good idea, not only am I someone who envisioned the program and collaborated with a friend of mine, Tyson Treasure, who actually designed the database that we're using, but I'm a user of the program. So just to give you an example of that, I read an article in PC World recently about Trend Micro, PC Cillin. I like Norton. It's a good product, but it does tend to be a resource hog, and there's a lot there that I don't really use that much. And according to the article that I read, Trend Micro was really getting some excellent reviews, and it was really looking promising. And I thought, goodness, I'd like to try that out. I'd like to demo that. But is it accessible? Of course, most things tend not to be, it seems, especially the things that you really want to try, that you really want to use, and you get all excited about. You find out they don't work very well. And you usually spend several hours determining that, or in some cases, you only spend 5 minutes determining that. But I had a kind of a light go on in my head, a little bell went off, and I thought, hey, I think someone has reviewed Trend Micro PC Cillin on Access Watch. So I went there, and I'm at the actual home page. So if you go to the top of the page, you can have, if you are logged in already, then you are automatically logged in when you visit the site. It remembers that. Isn't that nice? You don't have to keep typing all that stuff in, your username and password. So I decided to skip the navigation links that are provided at the top of the page. So I get to just hit my heading navigation key. So H in JAWS. And I go to a heading level one that says Welcome to Access Watch, and I'm going to whack it again. The second heading level one is Software Reviews. And you can read about that, a nice little description of it. The user who submits the 100th review to our site, and by the way, we are one review away, will receive a $10 Amazon gift certificate. Not a huge prize, of course, but, hey, we're small, and we don't make any money on this thing, so Tyson and I kicked in $5 each, and we're gonna give the 100th reviewer the Amazon gift certificate. So, anyway, as I said, we are one review away at the time of this recording. So, I press the tab key at Software Reviews, and I land on a link that says Software Reviews. So, I'm going to press Enter on that. And we have about 85 links on here. That's kind of exciting. If we just keep arrowing down, get past account information, my account, system administration on my site, of course. Yours won't have that. Log out, Jamie Pauls. Not you? Well, it is me. Oh, another heading level. One. Please select a piece of software. So I'm just arrowing down. The first link that you come to is add a new program and or review. Now that's a little bit confusing. Perhaps we actually may reword that in the near future. But really what that means is if you want to add a brand new program to the database, then you can just click that link. If you're not sure if the program is already there, don't worry about it, because if it is, you won't do any harm. You can add all that information as though it's a first-time program. The database will sense that it's already there and just add your review to the database. I'm going to keep going. 3D Snake, 7-Zip, Absolute FTP, Add Dash Aware, and by the way, Add Aware, actually, the version numbers are out to the side of these things. Adobe Reader version 7, All Image, I don't even remember what that is. I think it's a backup program. AOL Instant Messenger, AT&T Global Network Client, Audacity version 1.2.3, Audible Manager, AVG Antivirus, just keep going on down here. Actually, I'm going to use my links list command, so insert F7. I'm going to press the letter T. TerraTerm Pro is the first one. The Bat, Tiny Spell. Trend Micro Internet Security 2005. That's what I was actually referring to and what I should have called it. Press Enter. The first link you get is if you want to add a new review for it. But I don't want to do that. So I'm going to go to the top of the page. That seems to work best for me. Press H for this heading level command. Average rating is 5 based on 3 reviews. The nice thing about this is you can use your heading level command and go from review to review. So that immediately tells me 2 things. Number one, 3 people have used this program, not just one. Number two, they all liked it. They all gave it a 5. That's a pretty good deal. As you read these reviews, you discover that at least 2 of them were using JAWS and 1 was using Window Eyes. So that covers another base. It's actually accessible with both major screen readers. Some of these reviews are everything from real simple little introductory reviews that just simply tell you what a program is and don't give you a whole lot more information than that, to some what I would consider mini tutorials with keyboard references and just a lot of really neat, helpful information. You can make this as complex as you want to. At one time, we were having a little difficulty with actually writing a review in Notetab or Notepad or something like that and then pasting it. When I tried that, I actually ended up with a bunch of blank lines between the lines that I had written. Not a bunch of blank lines, but a blank line between each line of text. Since Tyson has worked on the database, to be honest with you, I don't know if that works a little better or not. That's something I suppose I need to test out and see. I suspect, however, that it will work in this latest version of the database, because we were having some formatting issues, but I think those are fixed at the time of this writing. One thing that we cannot do is to insert a hyperlink in a document. In other words, you can't, you know, say blind cool tech and then put the anchor, the tag around it. That is not possible. So you would just need to type out the URL to it and access it that way. Email links, of course, are the same. Some interesting questions that are going to come up and that I've been thinking about quite a bit is, you know, what do you do after you get several versions of a program? And what constitutes something worth writing a review of? You know, there are umpteen versions of Winamp out there, but they all work basically the same. So there's really no point in adding Winamp version 5.9.03 and 5.9.04, or however that is worded. I know that's not quite right. But you get the idea. But yet, you know, a program comes along like MSN Messenger version 7. 6.2 is accessible with JAWS, 7 isn't. So I went ahead and added a review for 7.0. At this time, you know, it only has a 1-star rating. No one using WindowEyes has challenged me. So I'm kind of, you know, disappointed, honestly. I thought maybe someone would take issue with that and be quick to point out that their screen reader works better than mine in that program and kind of boost that rating just a little bit. When JAWS version 7 is released, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to update my account profile so that I have... and by the way, you can edit any of that information on the fly. Once you've updated your account profile and you're going through and you're actually writing a review and all those fields are filled in, those are all editable. That's a hard word to say. Editable fields that you can change on the fly. So if you have a work computer, for example, and a home computer, you don't have to set up two accounts. If you do most of your reviews from your home computer, but you want to do a review from a work computer that is somehow significantly different, you can just edit that individual field. I was pleased to see that on Fred's Head database, Access Watch has been added to that database as well. The way this is going to grow and improve is if many, many users join the site. We have about 68 users, I believe. I think 78 products. And as I said, 99 reviews at this time. It's been up about 6 months, or 7 months, I guess. It's been a little slow to catch on. I think part of the reason for that is that people are just accustomed to mailing lists. They're used to discussing reviews that way, or discussing software that way, and people love audio reviews, and I do too. And there's nothing that's going to take the place of Blind Cool Tech or the Desert Skies podcast or Main Menu. Absolutely nothing. But I really think that this site actually serves an interesting need and actually has a unique potential to provide some really quick information that is very easy to change. It's very easy to update. When the next version of Skype comes out that's just wonderful and it's totally accessible, then I anticipate a new version number showing up on the review site and a really good review of that version. At some point when certain programs like MSN Messenger version 6 or 5 or whatever are no longer even accessible on the net, you know, you can't even use an older version of a program, then I'm sure that we'll need to go back and probably take those old versions out of the database. So there are some interesting things that can happen and some interesting issues that we'll need to deal with as this site progresses and as we work with it. At the present time, I can't think of any really... something I almost totally forgot to tell you is that you can set up email alerts so that you can be emailed if a new program is added to the database, if that's all you want to know. Or perhaps you want to know when a specific program is added and when any new reviews of any program are added. You can do that. Maybe you don't want to know when a particular program is added, but you just want to know when any new review of any new program shows up. You can do that as well. What if you have one particular program that you want to track? You are really interested in Nero, and you want to know if any new review shows up on that particular program. You can do that too. That is probably one of the most powerful features of the database, and one of the most desirable things that you can do. You can also receive occasional emails from the administrator, and I do emphasize occasional. It's the belief of the Access Watch team that we shouldn't pester you with unnecessary emails. So if the site's going to be down, or if there's our new changes added, or if we offer another promotional offer after we do this gift certificate for the 100th review submitted, we very well may do something for the 100th user that's added. We've talked about that. So there are going to be some fun things. We don't currently have a PayPal donation site on the web. I don't know how successful those things are. But if we give away prizes very much, we might go ahead and you know, set that up so that if you want to give a couple bucks to the cause, you can do that. If you don't want to, you don't have to. So if anyone has ever had experiences with PayPal donation, either good or bad, I would be interested to hear them. You can contact me at jamiepauls, jamiepauls, at sbcglobal.net. You can visit the website at www.accesswatch.info. Go ahead and sign up. It doesn't hurt a thing, doesn't cost a thing. Use the site. Look at the reviews that are already added. A lot of the stuff that's up there is freeware. I've noticed that. Didn't start out or intend for it to be that way, but it just seems to be happening. Or very low-cost programs. You can do some interesting things, too. For example, I see no reason why you couldn't do a review of a cell phone using Talks or MobileSpeak. You can, you know, Symbian is an operating system. Talks or MobileSpeak is a piece of software. Just kind of, you could be a little bit creative if you want to with this database. We've talked about doing a database for hardware reviews. That gets a lot trickier because there's a lot less parameters to put in the database, or maybe a lot more parameters, depending on how you want to look at that. There's a lot more things that are going to vary from person to person. So if you have some suggestions for how this could be improved, we've had questions about audio reviews. Can you link to audio reviews? The more I think about that, the more I'm not really sure that that is within the scope of this website at this time, or perhaps I should say in the scope of this database, because I think the podcasters have this covered really, really well. Will I ever start my own podcast? Not with the equipment I have now, but who knows? That's one of those things that would be fun to do, but Larry does it so well, and Jeff Bishop, that I kind of think maybe I'll just submit to theirs and just kind of not reinvent the wheel here. So, I think I will stop rambling at this point and let you go check out the site. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Okay, very cool site, Jamie. Look forward to a lot of our listeners going over there and writing some reviews and keeping us all informed. This is a great idea. All right, here's Scott Rakowski with a report of a coffee maker, the Senseo.
Welcome to Wormcast number 4 for Saturday. What is the date? Saturday the 8th of July, I'm pretty sure it is. Must be the 8th. Has to be the 8th. If it's not, well, that's just good. I want to welcome everyone along. It's Scott Rakowski here. And today we're in the kitchen. We're going to be doing a demonstration of the Senseo coffee maker. Now, the Senseo coffee maker is one of the brilliant advancements in technology. It's just a coffee maker. But the beauty about this coffee maker, for the blind anyway, is the fact that back in the days when you had to use the kettle, which you still use today, but using a kettle, trying to pour boiling water into a cup, and then put in your milk and your sugar and just stuff around there for a while. Very annoying and tedious, basically. So I've been looking for a solution, and I've finally found it, the Senseo coffee maker. You can get more information from the Senseo website at senseo.com. We'll put a link in the show notes about that for those who want to investigate the product further. Basically, the coffee maker is just an average, like a coffee maker. Like you'd use like a carafe with your coffee beans and that. But the difference is, it's very easy to use. You've got like a, the whole thing's made out of plastic. It's the bottom of the unit is round, and your cup actually sits on the actual unit, or your mug sits on the steel plate. Underneath the steel plate, you've got a drip tray where the water drips into the tray if it has to. And on the front of the unit, there are three buttons. You've got three buttons. Two of them are indented, and one is actually flush with the plastic. The left button is for one cup, just for one cup of coffee. The middle button is your power on off button, and the right button is the for two mugs. Basically, with this unit, you get two cup holders. You get a single cup holder where you can put in one coffee pod, which I'll talk about shortly. And you get one for two pods, and you can put two glasses or two mugs on the steel tray side by side, and it'll make you two separate cups. But the way I do it is that I use one coffee pod in the single coffee pod holder with one mug on the steel plate, and it makes me just a nice average size mug of coffee. Very, very nice, and it's recommended. The coffee is made by it's made by Makona, and there are three flavors right now. There's medium roast, dark roast, and extra dark roast. I've tried the medium and the dark, and I prefer the medium roast, which is it's like a light roast, basically, is what it is. Now, these coffee pods make one cup of coffee. They're like miniature tea bags. They're round, and they're about the size of, let's see, just trying to think of something that would be the size of them. Put it this way, they fit in the palm of your hand. That's that's how round they are. They feel like a tea bag. One side of the actual coffee pod is flat, which goes up. And the actual other side of the pod underneath is convex. So you place the flat side pointing up to the ceiling, which we'll be putting into the pod shortly, putting into the coffee maker shortly, and we can all hear how that works. I've already taken two shortcuts. I've actually filled up the water reservoir at the back, which gives you two cups of coffee on average, basically. They say you can get up to five cups, but keeping in mind, I'm using the two-cup button, which would normally, for most people, you'd use a little coffee cup. and have one cup, so you get 5 cups out of that. But for 2 mugs of coffee, you get about 2 uses. Then you've got to fill up the water reservoir again. Very easy to fill up. Above the steel plate, you've got like a little nozzle where the coffee comes out of with the hot water. Above that, you've got a lid which opens up. It locks down when you're making the coffee, which we're going to demonstrate shortly. But you lift up this little lid, which I'll lift up now. And underneath the lid, you've got this steel little basket where you put your little coffee pod, which I spoke about a few moments ago, which we'll put one in a second. I've already put in the sugar in tablets and the milk into the cup. Because if you put your milk in first, then make the coffee, it's actually nice percolated coffee when it comes out. It keeps the coffee hotter because the milk has been in there for a while. And when you stir it up, it's nice and frothy. And so it's perfect, basically. So you put your coffee pod in the top little basket. You put the lid down. You press your power button, which we're going to do in a second. The water will boil. It takes about 90 seconds. I think it's quicker myself. I actually haven't timed it, but they say 90 seconds to boil the boiler full of hot water. Then you press your 2-cup button or your 1-cup, depending what you want. I press the 2-cup button myself. And basically, it'll make the normal sound that a coffee percolator makes. And hopefully we'll hear the coffee being poured into the cup. And then you stir it, and that's pretty much it. And then you just have to wash out the little coffee basket with cold water and take the nozzle out of the unit, the little coffee dispenser nozzle, wash it under cold water, put them back in after you've dried them, and that's it. Very, very easy to clean and maintain. So I've already filled up with water, as I've said, and I've also put the milk and the little sugar tablets into the cup just to save time. So what I want to do, I want to put this recorder down on the table next to the unit, just here. I'm going to grab a coffee pod from the container. They come in packs of 18, the coffee pods, but personally, I've got mine in a nice airtight container. So that's how I like to store them. The container fits one pack of pods quite nicely. So yeah, one pod will make you one cup of coffee. So I'm going to put the pod with the flat side up into the little metal basket, which I'm now doing. You have to make sure too that the edges of the pod do not go outside the metal basket. Otherwise, I don't know what will happen. I'm not going to try. So if anybody wants to be brave and experiment, what happens if you leave your little pod out the edges? Well, that's good, but we're not going to do that. Okay, I'm going to lock the lid down and flick the little lid, the little handle that locks the lid into place. So I'm going to pick up the recorder again. And I'm going to press the power button on the front of the unit. And in a second, we should hear the unit start to boil. So we're going to press that button now. Here we go. Apologies for the fridge in the background, but yeah, here we go. It's starting to boil, so I'm going to put the recorder near the unit so you can hear it. Here we go. So it's not much. It's pretty quiet at the moment. It's boiling up there. Now, the unit will shut itself off when it's finished boiling. An actual light does come on at that point, which you don't need to know about. When the unit stops boiling, you know you can press your 2-cup button for your coffee. So we're going to wait for this to boil. And it's boiling quite nicely here. It just sounds like an average kettle boiling, really. It's getting louder. can also place your hand on top of the coffee machine to tell when it stopped boiling. You won't feel any movement, or you won't feel the vibrations of the coffee maker under your hand. Now, I can hear it boiling, so I'm just waiting for it to stop. Okay, so that's pretty much finished boiling. So I'm going to press the 2-cup button. The cup is underneath the unit. I'm going to press the 2-cup button and let you listen to the coffee coming from the coffee maker, from the pod, into the glass that already contains the milk and the sugar tablet. So I'm going to press the button. Just have a listen. Here we go. It and then the boiler will just fill itself up with water and boil it up again in case somebody else wants another cup of coffee. So basically you just take the cup off the steel plate, stir the milk and coffee in and drink it. That's pretty much it. And you just throw the coffee pot away in the bin or the trash, clean out the little basket and coffee spouts, which I only do every couple of days. It's only to stop it blocking up. Every day I think it's a bit of overkill, really. That's pretty much it. So, great machine. I think I paid $118 Australian for the unit. And you can get that at any good Walmart stores, any of your Harvey Normans here in Australia, Walmart in the US. I would assume Best Buy, but I'm not sure about that. And I know Amazon.com also have them on their site also. So, again, I want to thank everybody for listening to this review of the Senseo Coffee Maker.
Okay, thank you, Scott. Great review. And if any of you other folks have a review that you would like to submit, you may do so by FTPing it to ftp://bct@skular.onlinestoragesolution.com. Please drop me an email at blindcooltech@gmail.com to let me know it's there. I think these are great, and I hope to see more of them. Now here's the sound. I'd like to try to see if you can identify. If you can, or if you'd like to make a guess, leave a comment on our audio line at 206-984-9203 or email us at blindcooltech@gmail.com. And it'll be interesting to see. Don't have any prizes or anything. It's just kind of a game. Got some interesting sounds in mind, or you know, maybe we'll get you guys to submit some sounds too. Now, just to give you a clue, I did repeat that sound. So, if you know what it is, let us know. Okay, and finally, here's our audio comments.
Hi, Larry. This is Richie C. once again from New York. I was listening to your podcast about the iRiver digital recorder, and I have two questions about that. One is, does the iRiver record in stereo? And second, you mentioned that you can make the iRiver look like a drive to Windows. So in any case, I presume, could you then take your recordings from the iRiver and up and put them directly on the PC via the USB connection? All right, we'll keep the great work as always during your podcast. Bye.
Oh, absolutely yes on both questions. It does record in stereo, and you can hook it to your USB port, and it shows up as a drive. And our second comment.
Hey, Larry, how you doing today? My name is Eric, and Eric Troop, actually. I'm the one who, I sent you an email about my retired guide dog that just recently retired. His name is Boomer. He's not, he's with a friend now, but, I was just mentioning how I enjoyed listening to your walks with Jake because it reminds me of walks I used to take with Boomer. The reason I'm leaving you a comment is A, because it's an easier way of getting to know somebody than email, because you seem like a really cool guy to get to know, and B, because I was reading and listening to your, reading about and listening to book, your training sessions on Bookport, and it strikes me as a very, very, an awesome piece of hardware, because taking books with you on the go is something which I've wanted to do for a while, and I can't because almost all of my reading is done via open book. I have a couple questions for you about it. One is, what is there a way to make the speech synthesizer that's built into Bookport a little bit more natural sounding, mainly in terms of its inflection? Because I noticed that the whatever voice synthesizer you were using, beginning with lesson number two, where you were going over the software for the transferring of files, it's just amazingly natural sounding, and it just, wow, blew me away as far as it sounds so human-like. I mean, it's not perfect by any means, but it's definitely a huge step forward in terms of natural sounding speech from a synthesizer.
Yeah, that was some awesome speech. That's a Neo Paul. Unfortunately, we can't get that on the Bookport. It takes way too much processing power. But what you can do if you want to is purchase that speech for your PC, and then you can play the book and record it, and then send that audio file to the Bookport. I don't really recommend that, though. It's not an efficient way to do things.
And even with Eloquence, you can get Via Voice Out Loud, you can get a pretty good natural sounding, at least natural enough where it isn't distracting, speech. And I was just wondering if Bookport had a parameter that you could set to make it more natural sounding. It certainly wouldn't, if the answer is no, it certainly wouldn't deter me from buying the product.
Actually, there's a few things you can do to change the parameters of the speech, but it's not going to sound as natural as that Neo Paul by any means. And I'll try to give a demonstration of some of the different parameters that you can change. It takes a little while to get used to that kind of speech, but you know, most people within a day they're very comfortable with it, and it's very easy on the ears.
Because the things that it does are incredible, but it would make me that much more enamored with the product if it did have something like that. Because when I read, I tend to get a bit distracted by the robotic nature of most synthesized speech. And yes, I realize that's what audiobooks are for, but, you know, it'd be nice to be able to use to have that for the text files and whatnot. Or even if I could just learn what that voice synthesizer was that you were using, and I could maybe use it with JAWS or OpenBook or something, that would be great as well.
That actually is the Double Talk speech synthesizer from RC Systems.
The other question I had involved editing. Is there any way to edit using Braille mode a scanned book while you're reading it? Because that's what I tend to do when I'm reading with OpenBook, is I scan, and if there's an error, I just correct it on the fly and keep reading. And it's kind of nice because then I can submit perfect copies of the books I finish with to Bookshare. And anyway, that's just some questions that that I had. And again, none of these, if the answer is no, would keep me from buying the product because it's just amazing. But they would be some nice icing on an otherwise quite delectable cake. Anyway, you have a great show, and I look forward to hearing the broadcasts every day, or podcasts, I mean. And thanks for producing it, and thanks for letting us into your life.
Okay.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you for the comments. And the answer to the second question is you actually can send a scanned book to the notes folder in the book port. That's the only place on the device that you can actually edit material. So you can read along and then correct as you need to right there. Okay, that's going to do it for Blind Cool Tech number 60. If you want to leave us an audio comment, please call 206-984-9203. Email us at blindcooltech@gmail.com or check out our website, aph.org/tech/bct.htm.